It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what do you bet on Twitter, with music by Delete Great Cars and Trucks. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett. Scotty Johnny himself coming at you. And I am joined, again, back with me, the dynamic duo. Back together again, and as per usual, I present to you, Aaron Flottam.
Hey, John, what's going on, man?
Oh, so much, Aaron, so much.
I'm sure there's so much going on right now.
We've got so much news. We'll get into the games in a minute, obviously.
In a long minute. I'm impressed that the WWE is still operating, by the way. me and Holly caught some WrestleMania highlights tonight and watched Raw. And it's weird. They're not even doing it like in an empty stadium. They're doing it on like a sound stage. There's no bleachers or anything. It's just a stage, and it's something to behold. And either Vince McMahon is a monster or a genius or both. But
he's producing
live television.
Let's put him on a high school stage. That would be way more exciting, I think.
Oklahoma.
Anyhow. I want to tell everybody to please remember that you can follow the show on Twitter at Scotty Johnny Pod. You can also follow me at Not So Humble Host. And of course, Aaron, where do people follow you on the Twitter machine?
Or unfollow me lately at Cheddar Talk, John, at Cheddar Talk, Cheddar Talk, Cheddar like the cheese, talk like what comes out of your mouth, Cheddar Talk, at Cheddar Talk. Thank you, John.
All right. And if you are looking at my timeline recently, you'll just see that there's some weird nobody who keeps naming every Packer, I guess, like author or podcast host or whatever, and telling us how none of us can handle all the, you know, like we're harassing him and all the mean things we do. I'm like, I don't even know who you are.
This is why we need Corona to go away too, because people are, they have way too much time on their hands.
This guy's been doing it for a while now. And generally I just throw some gif at him. I was like, man, nobody knows who you are. You're doing this just to get somebody to talk to you and whatever. I mean, he's kind of funny in how he's trying to troll me. So whatever. I mean, he's doing that part well. I'm like, you're interesting at least. I mean, you're a sad little man and you're clearly just stalking me on Twitter, but,
well, he should come after me then, because that'd be much more fun, because I will dip to that level on Twitter.
Cool.
I will defile myself.
He made a wanted poster of me. It was hilarious. For harassment.
What?
$1,000. And then I responded, was like, clearly, you're not good at this. $1,000? Why don't you make it way higher? I'm clearly harassing you so much by you stalking me.
And clearly I didn't see that, because I would have turned you in for that $1,000.
For $1,000, yeah. You're not getting up here.
I'd turn you in for a pizza and a pop.
And, I was also like, seriously, you didn't put the dead or alive in there. If I'm so terrible, come and get me dead or alive.
I'd at least turn you in alive, John.
I appreciate you
that much. I would not dispatch of you from this mortal plane.
That's amazing. I love that phrase. Good job.
Thank you.
They don't call him the best in the business for nothing, folks.
Looks like just that dynamite drop in, Monty. Looks like that broadcast school really paid off.
Yeah, that was good. All right.
We're off and running about sports today.
Aaron is at Cheddar Talk, everybody. It's at Cheddar Talk.
At Cheddar Talk.
He didn't put that in there, but we'll remember that. Remember, of course, you can always find us wherever you find us, whether it's on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or Google Play or Stitcher or Spotify or even the iHeartRadio app. There's so many places to find great podcasts like this one. Please remember to subscribe, to download, to listen, rate, and review us.
Right. And I, you know, having just because I used to work for Clear Channel doesn't mean I'm a Clear Channel shill, but God, we're easy
but
to find
is.
On right. But I am. Yeah, I'm in their back pocket.
He doesn't have to be. He does it because he wants to.
No, but we're really easy to find on the iHeartRadio app if you have it. It's easier to find than any of the rest of them. I swear to God.
All right. So with all of that present, you know, the preamble done here, we'll get everything going here with what we love to call our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right. So, long introductions out of the way. The first thing we'll say is actually, well, not fun news. It's a sad thing that we saw. And when it came across my feed this morning, or early afternoon, whenever it came across, I immediately texted Aaron because this is something we both kind of caught by. Tarveris Jackson passed away today. He was 36 years old. It was today or overnight on Monday, Sunday into Monday or Monday morning, somewhere in there, that he did pass away. It was a one-vehicle car accident. I haven't heard anything different than just it was a vehicle accident. He hit a tree and his vehicle turned over. He was the only person in the vehicle. There was no other vehicles involved. I mean, it's good that there's no one else, but it's very sad to hear this. He played several years in the NFL, about 10 years of a career. Several of them, I mean, he started for a good long while on teams. He's been a playoff quarterback.
Right, and T-Jack, as they call him, you know.
Yeah, because Tarveris is hard.
Tarveris Jackson. But no, he was supposed to be, I remember that was a Childress, Childress's baby. He drafted him in the second round out of Alabama State, and he was going to be the next starting quarterback of the Vikings, and there was a big kerfuffle about that, and he was butt end of a lot of jokes for us Packer fans. But you know what? That's like the only ill will I have towards him, is that he just happened to be drafted by the Vikings, and the Vikings tried to make something out of him. Otherwise, I was kind of impressed with him as a backup quarterback, especially the way he shadowed Russell Wilson. Like we were talking about during the pre-show, he's kind of like RG3 being the backup quarterback to Lamar Jackson out there in Baltimore. And the fact that, you know, although RG3 was definitely one of the most talented players ever to play the game, kind of like Mike Vick when he was at the top of his game, Tarveris Jackson never had that moment. He never, you know, he didn't have the intangibles like those guys did. RG3, of course, got injured too fast. Mike Vick also got injured too fast and then decided to stay fighting dogs, you know, which took away a good chunk of his prime, and also was massively undersized for the NFL. But didn't Mike Vick like weigh 180 pounds
is that or right?
something like that?
Yeah,
it was very, very light. Tarveris Jackson, though, found a great role out in Seattle, and we were talking about this, and it's fun because, like with RG3 and Lamar Jackson, we were talking about the kind of shadow, like Tarveris Jackson, although I'm not putting him in the same league as Russell Wilson anyway, but at the same time, they're both right-handed quarterbacks, and they run about the same. Well, that's a big part right there, but because I was going to make the Brunell Favre thing later, but, but you know, they're same speed, same general throwing ability, strength, you know, just not as good a quarterback, but you don't have to completely overhaul your offense if you have to bring Tarveris Jackson into the game. And he ended up walking away with a Super Bowl ring. And we were talking about during the pre-show too, like with the RG3, and then we were talking about like Doug Peterson with Brett Favre and Mark Brunell with Brett Favre. You know, Mark Brunell, despite being left-handed, so he had to reverse the offense completely. I mean, even
for handoffs,
Brett Favre never missed a game, but I mean, they were ideal backup quarterbacks for Brett Favre because they were kind of the same quarterback in every single way, and you kind of want that in your backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. And Tarveris Jackson was a good backup quarterback, and I mean, to make it 10 years in the NFL, what would you give to make it 10 years in the NFL, John? I mean, the guy obviously was talented, and he was a good dude too. Like, I remember hearing him in interviews when he was with the Vikings and we were listening to KFan over in the Twin Cities. Like, he wasn't a bad guy. Like, he seemed like a really good guy. And he was coaching here at the end too. We did a little investigation and
Tennessee State.
Yeah, he was at Tennessee State last year. Was at Alabama State as controls coach or something like that. You know, so he was getting into coaching. 36 years old, man. That stinks. And it's, you know, I'm sorry. Sorry to the family of Tarveris Jackson. That's terrible.
Tennessee State Tigers, by the way. But yeah, no, that's the thing. It's like you never have any specific ill will towards somebody who is a great competitor for a rival. There's something to be said for that. And he's not one of those people who was ever brash or did anything specifically to try to embarrass your team or just say something mean-spirited. Seemed like a good person, generally speaking. And, I mean, he competed all he could do. He gave you what he had. He got put in a bad spot, generally speaking. And
a terrible spot in Minnesota, especially Childress put him up on high, you know, like he was going to be the next big quarterback. And then a couple years later, they end up signing Favre, you know.
Yeah, so yeah, he comes in what, 06 and 07, plays there, gets beat out by Gus Frerotte in the 2008 season, and then comes back at the end of the year, gets him to the playoffs, and then they go all in. They go all in and bring in Brett Favre. And I'm trying to remember that, like, receiving class. I mean, they had Sidney Rice, who was a nice receiver, but not a great receiver. He was not. I mean, he looked great
for about a 1 year span there. He was with Brett Favre. He was
1 year with Brett Favre,
really good receiver. Yeah,
yeah. For 1 year with Brett Favre, he looked great. Because Brett Favre, I mean, the one thing you can always say about him, he always played favorites with his wide receivers. If there was trouble, he just knew the route that, you know, for periods of time it was, you know, Sharp. I'm going to just throw to where Sharp's supposed to be.
Sharp then, early in his career, and then
Robert Brooks.
Robbie Brooks.
Then Antonio Freeman.
Until he got his face smashed in.
Yeah, then Antonio Freeman for a little bit, and then, you know, like Donald Driver. He's looking for guys. And it was Sidney Rice with the Vikings. He threw that ball to Sidney Rice, and, you know, just, man, just trying to find the roster in that 2000. Like, so the 2007 team, where he started 12 games, it looked like. Tarvarius Jackson started the year as a starter, 12 games starting. His receivers included Robert Ferguson, Bobby Wade, and our favorite, Troy Williamson, who was drafted ahead of Aaron Rodgers.
Robert Ferguson, who paved the way for Greg Jennings to come into Minnesota, by the way.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, and he was also an often injured player. But that's his top three, and that is not – I mean, so Sidney Rice, I think Sidney Rice was actually injured in 2007. He had some injury problems early on, too, and then ended up going off to Seattle as well. But, I mean, that was probably the best spot for him to be. Tarvarius Jackson being behind Russell Wilson, like you said, is just a perfect fit. It was such a great fit to have somebody like that. You keep everything rolling the way you needed to keep it rolling. This is an incredible loss. It can't just be all the stars. It's guys like this too, who had good careers and were good people, just working to do what they can to work on their craft. And yeah, I mean, he wasn't a star, but he was a good person who worked very hard at this game. And it's sad to see him go. I mean, he was. It's not like he was still playing. He retired in 2015, but still. He was working with kids. He was out there working in colleges, in small schools, and, you know, being an NFL talent, trying to talk to them about how to read a defense is huge. I mean, it's helping a lot of people out. It's like getting people to really deeply understand this game, and it's sad to see something like this happen. 36 is way too young.
It is. Yeah. Rip T-Jack.
Yeah.
Hard break.
Yeah.
Hard break. Okay, I'm not going to try and do a segue here, but
there's no segue from this.
So you said Tennessee State's team name is the Tigers?
Yeah. I don't remember Alabama's.
That's Memphis's team name too, right? The Tigers?
Yep. Yep. Memphis.
How many Tigers are in Tennessee?
I don't know.
First thing you said when you was like Tennessee State, I was like, wait, is
Alabama same? State? They're the
Alabama State is the. Oh, it's not. I'm thinking of Alabama Birmingham. They're the Dragons or whatever.
The Blazers. Alabama yeah. State. They got some kind of hornet looking mascot here. I can't see what they actually say.
Oh, so they ripped off Georgia Tech.
No, they ripped off Superior, obviously.
And they're part of the SWAC, by the way, just so you know. Alabama A&M Bulldogs. Oh, no, A&M Bulldogs. A&M, sorry, I missed it right there. Sorry.
That's exactly right.
The Hornets. They're the Hornets, Alabama State Hornets.
Okay, by the way, Alabama A&M, one of my least favorite schools of all time. It's a weird school to hate, I understand, but through a weird trick of fate at my ROTC Advanced Camp, which we just called Band Camp because it was the weakest Army training I've ever experienced. There were a couple of really cool things that we did. Like, we rucked out and spent 5 straight days with nothing but what we carried in, which was kind of cool. But, I mean, it still dropped up. There were MRE drop-off points. Other than that, I was like, that was kind of cool. The rest of it was just Boy Scout camp stuff. So, but still, ROTC camp is among the worst things ever because I had already come from being in the National Guard. I'd gone through basic training in AIT. I'd been in the Guard for 5 years at this point as a combat engineer. We were light engineers, so like I was sleeping under ponchos for years and rucking 20 miles and doing all these things, and then suddenly we get to this thing, and they got us in a barracks, and you're just like surrounded by the dumbest people you've ever seen in the Army, and you're just like, what is that guy doing? Why are you polishing that? That's not a boot. Like, you know, and you're just so shocked. It's like, God,
that's not a boot. That's a knob.
You're sitting there like, man, we are just the dumbest. Like, look at this guy over here, man. Cadets are the worst, you know. And while I'm wearing all my cadet rank, but anyhow, through some weird trick of fate, I had two people who belonged to the same ROTC at Alabama A&M. One of whom's last name was Battle.
And yeah.
They
Captain
were both
Battle. Oh, yeah, gosh. I like it. Hope he stayed in long enough to get that rank.
She was
Major Battle.
Yeah. Ooh. And actually, I mean, like, I'll say this. One of the two or three best people that I saw at that camp was from Alaska, and she was incredible, and she was great, and she was a better officer than I was, and got a special award. And, like, I believe her mother or father or something was like a colonel, full-blown colonel, and showed up at the graduation or everything like that. But anyhow, she was really, really good, but Battle was not. So I'm not saying this because Battle was a woman. It's because she was inept. Ineptness knows no gender. It's just an ineptness. But there were so many great points. At one point, she ordered, like, we took out this is how great the sports is right now, is I'm going to tell an ROTC story.
We led with a Viking story, and now we're going to ROTC. There we go.
We took out some, machine gun nest, and then suddenly she's like, all right, everybody, now let's get in two lines. The enemy's probably coming from that way, so let's get in two lines. So the lines are going straight, direct ahead. I'm like, look, I'm probably fine with shooting whoever's in front of me, but there's a guy right behind me pointing towards my head. Could we maybe get in one line and just be facing the way they're going? She's like, okay, no, wait. And then she's like asking the TAC officer. She's like, are we safe from behind? Is that secure? And he's like, I don't know. You tell me. I was like,
at that point, she was having a private battle with her own brain.
Yeah, yes. And it got ridiculous. She orders like five different times to do things. And then suddenly he's like, okay. She got this call from the TAC officer pretending to be somebody on the radio. He's like, all right. Call from higher and like, hey, what's going on? He's like, change your socks. She's like, our socks are back at the site back there, our listening post. And he's like, all right, go get them. She left nobody to guard our post behind us, where we left all of our rocks and all of our gear, and left nobody to watch it. So then suddenly she's like, okay, Barnett and I forget who else. You two are the biggest ones here. Go get all of our rocks. So it was like, you stupid, whatever.
You
fill
can,
in
you
the blanks with.
No, you can't use that word. This is a G-rated show.
This is a G-rated show. Fill in.
Just,
with
you're
the
not in
the
military anymore. You can use that word.
Yeah. I was like, just remember all the horrible things you can think of in terms of curse words. Yeah. And I was just like, it's like, just going on. I'm grabbing like five, six rucks and running full sprint with all these things for like 200 yards. And then I get there. And at the end, she's like, TAC said that I did so well. My plan was great. And you guys didn't work for me. Like, you guys didn't show me any respect. I was like, oh, did he love the part where I had to run 200 yards to go get your rucksack because you forgot to guard our equipment? How about the time you told somebody to stand behind me with a gun and point towards me?
Right.
It's like, which one of those did he love?
I'm sure she's Colonel Battle somewhere.
Almost certainly. Her mother was also in the Army, so she had these things. And she was like, I'm going to go into artillery. I want to do something hooah for a little while before I go into my my AG post.
Oh, artillery is so hooah.
King of Battle. I don't apologize to any artillery people listening to me.
I will not apologize to artillery either. I'm sorry.
Essayons, man. Essayons.
We're hardcore. We sit 7 miles behind the lines and lob bullets at people. That's what we do. We're right up front, 7 miles back. Hooah! Field artillery.
Pointy end in first. That's the
yes,
MOS.
Yes, exactly. Pointy end in first. Stand back. Wear earplugs. Oh, you forgot to wear earplugs? Sorry. Now you can't hear things anymore.
Hey, you know who's tougher than the field artillery is Christian McCaffrey.
I was going to say everybody.
Yeah.
Christian
McCaffrey,
who
gets like 300.
The ministry team?
That guy gets like 35 touches a game, like 20 carries and 15 catches.
Everything else. Air Force security forces are tougher than field artillery.
No, I'm not going to go that far because I've worked with them.
Anyway, but Christian McCaffrey, what about him?
He got a great new deal today.
They actually signed a running back got a good deal? What?
He got a giant deal. He got what he should have gotten. So, and the thing is basically the reason why this ties into this podcast, to Scani Nation, Scani Johnny, all of this, is it's going to set a market for Aaron Jones, who's coming up. And, it's going to matter.
It is going to matter because Aaron Jones is a better running back than Christian McCaffrey. Sorry.
Well,
he is, right? I mean, I think we've come to that point now. Like, obviously, Aaron Jones proved more valuable down the stretch last year. He scored more times. Christian McCaffrey came out really hot as a pistol last year. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. He is an excellent running back. Like, he's a first-round draft pick in fantasy football leagues, at least for two more years, or any big injury or anything
that.
But, I mean, Aaron Jones down the stretch proved to be more valuable, right, I think?
Because the only thing that gets in between
Aaron Rodgers, outside of Adams, had no one else to work with.
Well, I'll say the one thing you say is the difference between these two is the amount of touches. Aaron Jones will cede some of the touches every game to Jamal Williams. Mm-hmm. And some of the catches, because Jamal Williams is very good at catching a football.
Yeah, he is.
Both good pass catchers. And it's going to make both their careers longer.
They complement each other very well, too. They're a dynamite 1-2 backfield.
Like, Aaron Jones is a more shifty guy. He's got better speed. His balance is unbelievable. And Jamal Williams has more of a, I'm coming through you kind of attitude. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they're not totally different in terms of body size and shape. Mm-hmm.
You're right, though. Their running styles are completely different. Jamal Williams is a pounder.
Swag daddy.
Aaron Jones definitely finds the gaps and tries to, he works side to side. Has a quick step up field as opposed to, Jamal Williams is definitely more of just a Jerome Bettis minus 50 pounds. he leads with his head. And that's why he had to miss a game with concussion protocol, too.
And they're both very good pass catchers. The thing is, Christian McCaffrey he's got a ton of catches. And I did see one tweet today that the one fun part about how great he is, and he gets 2,000 yards a year in terms of all-purpose yards. His all-purpose yards, and for this year at least, when he was finally used correctly, Aaron Jones' all-purpose yards and McCaffrey's were very close. Mm-hmm. And the touchdowns were very close. And so they're very comparable in that way.
Let's hyperbole aside, because Marshall Faulk is in the Hall of Fame, but, I mean, they're both kind of Marshall Faulky-like. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, but they both are, because I mean, what Marshall Faulk in like the in his prime was averaging 2,100 yards a year, all purpose. Like he was when he was with the Greatest Show on Turf, he was good with the Colts, but when he was with the Rams, I mean, that guy was just, he was a wide receiver. He was a running back. He was a fullback. He was playing left tackle. I mean, they had him everywhere on the field, and these guys kind of have a little bit of that to them, they are really, really good. And they, I mean, like I said, save hyperbole, because Faulk is in the Hall of Fame and he sustained it for a long time. But these guys right now, Jones and McCaffrey, are arguably as good as Faulk was. Faulk was probably still a little bit better in a different era 20 years ago, but they're kind of right there with him, I would have to argue. I mean, that's not that hyperbolistic, is it?
It's approaching it. We'll say this. I'll say it this way. McCaffrey, the problem is that, I mean, he is the guy who's getting everything. So his numbers are inflated because he is the only true weapon on that team.
He doesn't have Kurt Warner throwing to him either.
Doesn't have that great a quarterback. Right now, I mean, he's going to be starting next year with Teddy Bridgewater, who's nice. He's a good quarterback. He's a step up from what they had last year.
Better than where he was.
Yeah, than what they were starting with last year with Cam Newton out basically the whole year, and now Cam Newton going wherever else he's going.
Well, and just Cam Newton just being generally mad and not wanting to play nice anymore. I
don't blame Cam Newton on that. I mean, that team has been up and down. He got into a Super Bowl. They've now, I mean, they just, who's he throwing to? I mean, basically, you think
not Devin Funchess, because he's with the Packers now.
Well, and he was with the Colts last year, so you didn't even have him last year.
Yeah.
And
great point. I forgot about that.
Kelvin Benjamin and Devin Funchess weren't even on that team last year. I mean, they went out and got Samuel, and I mean, they added some things last year a little bit.
Kelvin Benjamin, you mean the slow tight end?
Yeah,
that plays right, wide receiver.
He was great for a year. He was great for a year on my fantasy team. I'll say this: when you look at Marshall Faulk stats, remember that he had, here's his top three receivers that were on that team: Isaac Bruce. Torrey Holt, and then Azahir,
Ushman.
Azahir Akeem.
Azahir Akeem.
Went to the Lions after that.
I could hear Pete Owen getting mad there for a second, and then you actually got it just in time. He was expecting us to go into a good 2-minute diatribe of trying to figure out a name. And the Rams had a really good tight end too, I think.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Was it Wiersma? No, Wiersma was on the Bills.
Some big guy from I'm thinking somebody else. I don't know. But yeah, anyway. I mean, think about that. They had three.
They had three really good wide receivers.
Two Hall of Fame receivers, and then the third guy was an all-pro return guy. And so you're like, yeah, that's three deep at wide receiver that you'd kill for.
Well, and that's why the Rams were getting 20 miles of offense every year, too. I mean.
And Marshall Faulk got his numbers out of that offense. On an offense where he was sharing with those guys. Christian McCaffrey is sharing with, you know, Samuel and nobody else. And that's it. Right. I mean, like, even Olsen wasn't there last year, right? I mean, he was out. Now he's, I don't know what he's doing now. But, I mean, so he is not competing for the touches. He's getting the prime touches. He's getting everything inside the red zone. He is the focal point of that offense, more so than any quarterback they've had. He will be more the focal point of this offense than Teddy Bridgewater will be. And at the end of the day, too, Aaron Jones was sharing with, you know, Adams and then Lazard a little bit, but not much else. So,
well, Jamal would take.
Yeah, that's
Jamal.
The thing.
Jamal was working good shifts, except for when he got hurt just a little bit there. Jamal was taking good shifts of a game. Like, you wouldn't see Jones for a drive or two sometimes. So,
and that's the thing where maybe you say that, yeah, I'd rather have Aaron Jones at this point. Yeah, he's a little smaller. But yeah, he's had to share carries at this point. He's had to share carries with Jamal, which is fine. And it's great in the game plan. It works really well. He does not get every red zone touch, but he's also he's got guys in the passing game who are valuable. We definitely threw the ball to Jimmy Graham a lot. He didn't necessarily put up great numbers. The ball went his way a lot. We'll say that much.
And Jimmy Graham had the ball thrown to him a lot, whether or not he caught it or turned around in time.
And Devontae definitely. Devontae is one of the top five in this game as a wide receiver. Yeah. And the Panthers do not have anybody who's a top five wide receiver at this point.
No, not anymore. They don't. No.
No. And right now they don't even have a quarterback who's top 10. Steve Smith.
Steve Smith retired a couple years ago. Yeah, I was gonna say, Steve Smith. God, I wish he would have been a Packer. I love Steve Smith. Steve Smith got ripped off. He's not gonna make the Hall of Fame because he was just always on the wrong team.
Steve Smith is like, if he's a superhero, he's Daredevil because he is the man without fear. And that Daredevil reference is brought to you by Matt Giesfeld down in Madison. Just kidding. He doesn't give me any money, and nor do I want his money. But yeah,
Steve Smith Sr., I always loved that guy. God, he was just so tiny, but just absolutely fearless.
I love the guys who add senior to their nameplate, because all it means is they literally just had a kid and named him after themselves and then changed their name tag on the back. I was like, yeah, good for you, man. Not like Clay Matthews III, which he is the third. He doesn't put that on his nameplate. Because that's just referring to other people. But Steve Smith, the senior, goes out and says, like, hey, I'm putting this on because I've got this kid now. And I was like, good for you, man. Because that was your choice to do that, as opposed to, hey, like, I was named after other people.
Hey, hard left turn, by the way. Cool, so cool. We were talking about Christian McCaffrey, and I'll end it by saying this. Is I think it's a mistake signing him to a long-term deal, because much like Steven Alexander and anybody else who's a focal point as a, of the offense as a running back, you're going to get bashed too much, and I don't think they're going to get all the money out of that contract. But anyways, hard left turn. How about all that stuff? I missed last week, but how about all that stuff about Clay Matthews being released and bringing him back to the Packers?
Sure. But
did you and Jim talk about that last week? I was so busy. I didn't even get to listen to our own podcast. I'm sorry, but did you guys talk about that?
No. And to stay in the shift, while Christian McCaffrey is 2,000 plus yards a year, the Panthers are 12-20 with him. Right. So let's be clear. But no, we didn't talk about that last week. It was only just coming up as a story. It's surfaced a couple times here. And it's in part because Clay Matthews himself has actually talked about this. He's brought up the idea that, like, hey, I'm the all-time I'm rank whatever in Packers history, and I rank this in Packers history. And we're like, okay, man, cool. Does that matter if you're going to go sign with, I don't know, Arizona or whatever you're going to do? I mean, like, first off, the word is there are only two teams that are interested in even talking to him at this point, and one of them is the Packers. And the thing is, you have to remember is, he's not going to be your savior at inside linebacker. He just isn't. I mean, he'll be okay. He's an okay guy. He wasn't killer when he was there. It's not a stretch. He did play there some for the Packers. And remember, when you look back at his career, remember that when he played at USC, he played outside linebacker, but it was outside linebacker in a 4-3. USC didn't play a 3-4. He was not a rushing linebacker.
We talked about this, I think, like 4 or 5 weeks ago about that. Yeah, like just he was a true outside linebacker, not a pass rusher. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like Brady Papinga.
Yeah, Brady.
But yeah, no, I mean, he'd be okay. He'd be okay. He's a guy who'd make your team at that spot, but you can't pay him much. You just can't. You can't throw money at him. You can't treat him like he's your savior.
If you were to work up for a veteran, or not even, I won't say veteran minimum, because he's better than that. You can't pay him veteran minimum.
Because if he were better than that, there wouldn't be only two teams talking to him. That's the market.
Like a hometown deal, because I mean, and that's the thing too, is like his whole career is here, and like, and yeah, I mean, he's a Packer legend. He really is. He helped us win a Super Bowl, and you know, like every other great player that helped us win a Super Bowl, I think that he should be recognized as such. And if they can find some way to bring him back to be like a backup inside linebacker, you know, and I think he could still probably pass rush if he was outside Zadarius. Yeah. Either of the Smiths, actually, like, and in a backup, in a backup role, but not being relied upon to be the outside rusher. Like, I'm sure he could still do all that stuff. I mean, he's older and slower, but the one thing with him is that there's intangibles with Clay Matthews. He is a leader. He is a legend. He's good. He's good locker room people. Yeah. Like, there's no doubt about that. Like, he was always good in the locker room.
He's a stand-up guy. He was never really a
big time, like take the reins kind of leader, but he very stable in the locker room kind of leader. Like, you never heard a bad thing about Clay Matthews. So like,
and he always stepped to the microphone, and he always had something to say, and it was never detrimental to the team. And he always stepped up and talked well about his teammates. I mean, for a guy who's always at the microphone, to say that everybody still likes him, I mean, that does something. That means something.
And there's very few NFL like monarchies. Or not monarchies, but patriarchs.
Traditions. Patriarchs, or families.
He comes from a long line of really good football players, and I'm sure he'll have a son that plays in the NFL, or a daughter, I don't care, whatever, that plays in the NFL as well. You know, so, I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, if you can make it work and it's not going to smash the rest of the cap space, and he just wants to come back on a 1 year, whatever, you know, like, bring back the 52. I mean, he'll make so much money in jersey sales alone, because people in Wisconsin love their Clay Matthews.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it'd be
worth it. Does Rashawn Gary have to give up his jersey, though?
Yeah, I would say yes. I would probably, say yes.
Probably yes.
I'd say yes.
Here's I guess the thing.
Or Clay Matthews takes a new number and makes a whole S ton of more money because now you have to buy the new Clay Matthews number.
I don't have to.
53 or take 99. Oh, Clay Matthews
99.
Yeah.
What was his dad's number? Look that. I mean, I can't remember because he played for Cleveland way back when. But I mean, like, that's the thing. There's a lot of people who are, you'd say, like NFL royalty, like, you know, the Mannings. You know, their dad was a great quarterback, a Pro Bowl quarterback, and then two sons who were Pro Bowl quarterbacks and such. I mean, Eli made, what, one Pro Bowl, two Pro Bowls, maybe?
Two Super Bowls.
Which just shows you how a good quarterback with a great team around him can save a quarterback. But anyhow, the thing is, the Matthews family is three generations deep.
Clay Matthews Jr. was number 57
for
the Browns. I mean, but Bruce Matthews is arguably the best tackle in NFL history. I mean,
he's in the conversation.
He's there with Munoz and Kenny Rutgers.
Kenny Rutgers. If you say the best Packer tackle, you have to say it's Forrest Gregg. Is the best Packer tackle?
Absolutely no. But I mean,
you don't have to. I won't make you.
I mean, Anthony Munoz is the best left tackle of all time, right? Are we at that point now? Maybe what's his name? Who played for the Rams forever?
Jackie Slater.
Thank you. Jackie Willie Slater.
Willie Rofe has to be in the conversation too.
Come on.
Willie Rofe is great.
Yeah, Willie Rofe was awesome. Speaking of the Rams, their left tackle.
You're killing me, man. You just keep throwing stuff at me. No, I can barely keep up.
The greatest show on turf. They had their left tackle. Ohio State kid.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah, first round draft pick. He was was he the first overall pick?
First overall pick. Yeah, and he was the first overall pick. Like when the greatest show, he started the first year of the greatest show on turf.
To be clear, too, if we're talking about Bruce Matthews. Look at this. Started in 99 games. He played left guard in 87 of them. No, I'm sorry. Offensive line started. I'm sorry. Here we get this right. 99 games at left guard, 87 at center, 67 at right guard, 22 at right tackle, 17 at left tackle. I was going to say, I was like, I don't think of him as a tackle. I always think of him as a guard.
That's a good point. Yeah, no, you're right.
First round, ninth pick overall out of USC. Because they all go to USC, except for Casey Matthews, who is Fredo. If anybody remembers Casey Matthews, Clay Matthews' little brother who went to Oregon because he couldn't get into USC with the Matthews name and then played for Philadelphia for a couple years where they literally called him Fredo. It's so great. And then I watched Godfather 2 with my son this week because it was his birthday. He just turned 14. And now I get to explain to him why it's terrible to be known as Fredo. And why
because,
I keep telling
him. Because you get shot and left in Lake Tahoe at the end of your life.
And now my son Josh also knows why I keep telling him, I know it was you, Josh. You broke my heart. and then I leave the room and he's like, I don't know what's going on. But anyhow, The other one comparison that came up this week.
Orlando Pace. I finally found
it. You did it.
Orlando Pace. Oh, my God. Yes. Orlando Pace. My God.
You know what?
That guy was a beast.
Let's just say this. I'm going to put this out on the table. It's a Wisconsin quarantine going on, and I'm here in Grand Rapids, technically, and living outside of Wisconsin Rapids. And Brandy Old Fashions is where I'm at right now, and that is how I'm getting through some of this quarantine. If I can't remember Orlando Pace, none of you get to hold that against me right now moment.
Orlando Pace is going to be
I know you're listening
be a
to
Hall
me.
Of Famer, too. No, he you is. Did a good job with Jackie Slater, though. So
I'm just telling my dad, Pa, you don't get to hold this against me. I'm a couple brandy old-fashions into this because I know he's listening. I've got a new Glarus and a Point SPA sitting here. You know what? I don't remember Orlando Pace off the top of my head every time. I remember him hurting us at Wisconsin, though. He was that guy.
All this hot left tackle talk is.
I always go to Grant Wistrom because isn't he like when I think of the Rams, that's one of the other non like top tier guys. I think I was like, man, Grant Wistrom was awesome from Nebraska. That dude.
Well, I love the two names we just talked about, the Rams have two of the best left tackles in history in between Jackie Slater and Orlando Pace. I mean, that's nuts.
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
Rams have had some very good players over the years. Let's just put it that way. And the fact that they don't have as many Super Bowl wins as the Steelers is sad. Sorry. Shame on you, Rams. Oh, and thanks for being the first team and only team in NFL history to not score a touchdown in a Super Bowl.
Oh, jeez. Hurtful.
With the new greatest show on turf, yes.
Yeah, well, they also didn't really do much. But let's say the one other big comparison that came out this week was put out by friend of the podcast, Paul Noonan, at Badger Noonan on Twitter.
Noonan.
And it was phenomenal this week because it made very clearly drunken Aaron Nagler very upset, and he definitely took a video of himself slightly impaired this week. The question that was posed, it was just a poll question that was put up on Paul Noonan's Twitter, was if you could trade, because we have insane human being Bill O'Brien. I keep going back and forth here. Bill O'Brien, who is an insane person who runs a football team and gets to decide. I mean, he is the chef and he is picking all the ingredients, but he's the guy in the GIF who, when you know, like the chef is holding the piece of bread on each side of the head and saying, "What are you? I'm an idiot sandwich." He's the idiot sandwich. Yes. He's the chef who's the idiot sandwich picking his own ingredients. He's not Bill Parcells. He's an idiot sandwich. And they're like, hey, if he entertains the idea of trading Aaron Rodgers for Deshaun Watson, are you doing it? And Aaron Nagler would have no part of this. He was very unhappy with this. And Paul's kind of right. Like, Paul's right. First off, generally when Paul puts something up there, I'm almost certain, we'll say 94.5% likely going to agree with Paul because he's definitely done his homework. Even though he's definitely done his homework, there's a couple times I'll disagree with him because, you know, he asks some questions that are sometimes really good questions. And a really good question just needs to have, you know, something where, yeah, you can argue the other side.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's like, believe me, I'm a contrarian to the end. You are too. So, I mean, contrarian to the end. I mean,
how dare you? I am not.
Noonan put some stuff out there every once in a while. I'm like, what? Like, but it's, I mean, I look at my Twitter feed.
Yeah. Yes.
What? Everything I put out there. But I mean, yeah, I know, I get it. So
Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson, would you trade for him right now? If you had that offered to you, if he said you get what's left of Aaron Rodgers versus what's left of Deshaun Watson.
Is it, how much of a Herschel Walker trade is it? Like how badly is it gonna hurt the future?
Just up 1-to-1. If you give 1-to-1.
1-to-1 Deshaun Watson for Aaron Rodgers? Yes.
Yeah, see, I'm on the train too.
Deshaun Watson has proven to be good. He did miss a whole season with an injury, but Aaron Rodgers has missed quite a bit too. I mean, he's missed good chunks of a season. Deshaun Watson is a good quarterback and makes good decisions. He's got great arm strength. His leg, I mean, he looks like a young Aaron Rodgers. He really does. And he makes some of the throws. And I think Deshaun Watson, if I had to make a choice between the young quarterbacks, I mean, Mahomes made the turn about a year and a half ago. obviously. The next one that's going to make the turn, just like when Aaron Rodgers made the turn and when he was making those back shoulder throws and just Hail Marys.
Yeah.
Just make them look easy. I think Deshaun Watson is going to be the next quarterback that does that. I don't see that. Lamar Jackson is limited in his throwing ability. His athleticism is second to none. Lamar Jackson might be the most athletic player in the NFL. Like, no question.
I think Lamar Jackson is being underrated in that regard. I think that he has the throwing ability. I don't think that he was necessarily coached in college. about his throwing. I think his throwing has improved dramatically in the NFL.
He can make some throws. He really can. I really think that this isn't a knock on Lamar Jackson in any way, shape, or form, but he is, because I just said he's might be the best athlete in the NFL. He might be. And that's saying a lot, because that puts him in the top 1% of athletes on the planet. But Deshaun Watson, there's just something about the way he plays. Like, Lamar Jackson's kind of a bulldozer of a quarterback, if that makes sense. Like, even though, I mean, like, it's always forward, you know, just always pushing forward, you know, whether it's running or throwing or whatever, and he's going to get hurt, you know. Whereas Deshaun Watson is kind of like a young Russell Wilson. And if I could get a young Russell Wilson on the Packers right now over an aging aging Aaron Rodgers, I'll do it in a heartbeat. All right. Sorry. Yeah. I'm the biggest Aaron Rodgers fan on the planet. I've always defended him. I like him a lot. But you know what? If I can get a young, the next Russell Wilson on this team, heck yeah. And he's about the only person in the league I would trade for straight up right now. Unless someone were to trade Mahomes to the Packers.
Yeah, that's
straight
the thing
up. I would take that in a heartbeat. But do you think the Chiefs will ever let him go? No.
This is the thing.
No, they will not.
This is only a story because, and it's only even a question somewhere, because it's the Houston Texans, and they seem to have a very weird idea of allowing Bill.
I'm mad that the Packers didn't call up and get what's his name that they sent over to the Arizona Cardinals for nothing.
They just let DeAndre Hopkins
go for nothing.
Yeah, I kept wanting. I was thinking Nuck, because I keep hearing people call him Nuck, and I was like, man, now I can't think of his last name because I normally say it with the first name. Yeah, Hopkins, just letting him go for just a song and. Just a
song and a washed-up running back. I mean, like, I'm actually kind of mad that the Packers didn't get that done. Like, I love Jamal Williams, but if they would have sent Jamal Williams down the road for Hopkins to be opposite of Devontae, I would have taken it all day. Like,
absolutely,
love you, Jamal. You're one of the best, but come on, man. Like,
no, that's a no-brainer. If you could have made that trade, you'd do it, because that's a Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, just. You have two of the top five receivers in the league with Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones. You'd be like, nah, done. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, we want to do just a little bit of at least draft coverage to get some of this going here. And one of the first things I want to go over, Aaron, is just at least talking about some of the guys that we talked about last week with Jim. You didn't get to hear some of this, but I want to give you some of these stats and go over some of the people who are going to be kind of around. And the first thing I'm going to want to say is, say we're going wide receiver. Imagine first off we're looking wide receiver, because that's probably the most likely outcome at this point. But, I mean, who knows? Here's a couple guys who keep getting talked about in a couple different mock drafts that I like, and a couple of the rankings that I like, and a couple of places where we fall here. So here's Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State. A-I-Y-U-K. He runs a 4.66. No, I'm sorry. 4.5. He runs a 4.5. I got a 4.66 next to Malik Harrison. So he runs a 4.5 40. And he's got, just to see where he's got, his RAS, if you remember, RAS is kind of a big thing with how Gutekunst is drafted. It's out of 10. He's got 8.39.
Okay.
Now, he's not the fastest guy, because he's a 4.5, but he has, if you go watch anything he's got good hands, he catches well, and he runs well in space. That's one thing that's interesting. You know Justin Jefferson. You've seen him with LSU.
Yep.
He ran a 4.43 at the combine, and here's the fun part. His RAS is a 9.69.
Yeah, that's my pick, especially with them getting Funchess in free agency, like with another big body on the outside. Yeah, Jefferson.
Let me give you another.
Anyway, let's give another one. Okay, let's go.
I got like three other fun names here, and we can kind of talk back and forth through some of these for what time we can have here. Denzel Mims, the Baylor wide receiver, he ran a 4.38. His RAS is 9.78, so a little higher.
Right, okay.
here's actually the odd one. Jalen Reagor, who at the combine ran a 4.47, and at the fakest of all fake pro days ran a 4.22.
Do you remember that time that they claimed Joey Galloway ran a 3.940? Yeah. Back in the day, back in the steroid era?
No,
okay,
chance.
Just
somehow, even with a 4.47, though, Jalen Reagor, his RAS comes back as a 5.98.
Oh, so he's
that's
way
hurtful,
lower than everybody else.
Right?
Okay.
That's very hurtful. Yeah. Here's the last one I want to give you.
Hurtful. Yeah. As the dad of five children, that's very hurtful.
Jalen Reagor from TCU, by the way. But yeah, I did love his fake pro day, which was on Twitter and everything like that too.
Oh, and don't trust anyone from TCU. They still got that ginger curse from Andy Dalton.
Here's the one that I find interesting too. And I'll tell you the couple that I really like the most here. But Chase Claypool, pardon me. We talked about him last week a little bit too. We talked about all these names last week. His RAS, 9.98.
Okay.
He ran a 4.42. He didn't do the three-cone drill at the combine. He's 6'4", 238. 9.98 out of 10 out of Notre Dame.
Okay. I remember seeing him play. He is a big kid.
He's a big kid. And he can move. And I do enjoy him. I think he's interesting. I think he's one of the more interesting picks there. The more I watch film on stuff, and I clearly haven't watched enough on Claypool at this point to change my mind, right. But maybe I will. But, man, Brandon Ayuk, the way that he moves once he has the ball, and he seems to find a way to get fairly wide open in an offense that was a first-year coach, changing a lot of things, seemed to really blossom in a more a pro-style type of play. I really enjoy what he was able to do. But, I mean, he's got a decent score. I mean, if you're saying Brandon Ayuk, right. he's sitting there at an 8.39. All right.
Well, and see, maybe this is why it's so valuable to have conversations with me like this, because, you know, I watch college football, but I don't get into it. I mean, everyone who listens to this podcast knows that I don't get in. I mean, I love college football. I love going to college football games. I kind of keep up on the Badgers a little bit. And
listening to me.
Yeah. You know, and some of the smaller schools around Wisconsin, just because of the heck of it. But I don't get to know names or anything like this. So outside the Jefferson kid from LSU, who I saw in the national championship game and a couple other times on Saturdays throughout the season, like I don't know a dang thing. So I might actually be the best barometer / litmus test for this, because because I don't have biases outside of the Jefferson kid, because I saw him play, you know. But that's the thing too, is that that's how this works with college, is that people get biases about, but you're sitting here telling me about this other kid, this AO kid, and it's like I don't know him from Peter. So
yeah, but you remember
he sounds good. And actually, when you were going through the stats and I was listening to you intently, and I was sitting there thinking about this Mims kid. I was like, how big is this Mims kid, by the way? Because he sounded the most appealing of the ones you gave me.
The biggest thing with Mims is he's very appealing in terms of the RAS score, which moves him way up on what we have. He runs the 4.38. He had a 6.663 cone, which is another big measurement thing that is a holdover from Ted Thompson days. That's something that they really enjoy. He does run routes very well. The biggest problem is among the wide receivers I've just mentioned, he has the highest drop percentage.
Yeah, I don't like that. Drop percentage is bad.
I don't either.
You can't fix drop percentage.
Can and can't. The problem is, I mean, like,
you can fix route running. You can fix a lot of things. If someone's dropping balls, they will always drop balls. And the aforementioned from about two segments ago, Robert Ferguson coming out of college.
That dude,
he was a straight raw talent. And his biggest problem was when the Packers dropped a second-round draft pick on him. Check it. I think I got third-round draft pick. He was a third-round draft pick. But he had all the speed, everything else like that, but he dropped ball.
Texas A&M.
You don't fix ball droppers. So, yeah, he just went right to the bottom of the list. So,
Troy Williamson, who we also mentioned, first-round draft pick, dropped the ball all the time and ended up out of the league in like 4 years.
You can't fix ball droppers. If you have good hands, that's the number one stat. Outside of, I mean, you can have you can have someone who literally runs a 4.140. If he can't catch a ball, what's the point of having him? It yeah. doesn't make a difference. You have to have someone who can catch. Now, if someone's got the dropsies, Davante Adams is one of the best examples of someone who had stone hands early in his career. I remember a lot of us wanted, I was one of them, wanted Davante Adams gone because he was dropping balls like bad, and he still does once in a while. But for the most part, he doesn't. You know, wide receivers, you know, there's a lot of things going on when you're trying to catch a ball. They're still afraid of getting lit up by a free safety coming across and stuff like that. You know, I understand why, and I played wide receiver. I get it, like 20 years ago, but I get it. Like, I get why wide receivers will drop a ball every once in a while. But if they are known as a ball dropper, that, you know, just don't take him. Don't, sorry. Let the Vic take him because they yeah. will.
So, for me, I guess Brandon Ayuk and Chase Claypool are the two names I'm most excited about seeing at the back end of the first round, depending on how things fall.
Right.
I'll just tell you,
you said Claypool was a big kid, though. How fast is he?
4.42.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's
right.
That's like Metcalf.
Yeah. He's a very interesting guy to see. His athleticism is off the charts, and for a first round pick, adding somebody like that, especially since you're only asking him to come in and be your number two.
I only worry because Davante Adams, as good as he is, he's not a field stretcher. Excuse me.
No, not necessarily.
Davante Adams is good fast. Like, he's that kind of fast. Lazard is going to either sophomore slump, or Lazard's got, he's a big guy too. Funchess is a big yeah. guy. They need somebody to stretch the field.
And that's kind of what I'll say again. My dad has said this, Andy Barnett, and I know he's listening to this as well. It's mm-hmm. one of the reasons why he says Denzel Mims is the guy who's interesting here, is because he's a little different. You draft something different than what you have. Denzel Mims, while he does drop the ball more than you'd like, he does run the 4.38. He does have
Is Mims the first round pick or a second round pick?
He's going to be there at the end of the first round. He will not be there for a second round pick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can get somebody fast in the second round that.
Yeah, I haven't looked at receivers in the second round. I'm assuming, what I'm looking for.
The first round dropsy people never work out. They never work out. I mean, can you give me one? I mean, I know we've been talking over old fashions and beers on my end, but I mean,
guys who like, drop
when
it,
whenever
college?
Anybody in the first round has said he's got good intangibles, but he's dropsy. It never works out. It never works out.
I'm trying to think.
I mean, no, I'd rather have the Packers get a good offensive lineman at the end of the first round, which always comes in handy in the long run. Or a pass rusher or something. Ooh. And then if you're going to go for a speed guy, you can get a speed guy in the second round.
You really can.
The Packers have been experts at pulling. I mean, I know it's a whole new regime, but that's their lucky horseshoe, getting a good wide receiver in the second round. I mean, it's.
So that's the one thing too, and I'll mention this: the Acme Packing Company. We had our mock draft this year, I was assigned, was it Baltimore, Tennessee? I'm trying to think of the other teams I had. Sorry. But I had four teams. I did not get the Packers. Pete Bukowski, Buko time. He had the Packers this year. His first round draft pick for the Packers. And oddly, a lot of the receivers kind of moved a little faster than what you'd generally see in a lot of these drafts. Mm-hmm. But what he ended up going with was Joshua Jones out of Houston, the offensive tackle. Mm-hmm. And so Joshua Jones, as well as Austin Jackson out of USC and Isaiah Wilson out of Georgia, are kind of three of the tackles that are going to get mentioned around the area where the Packers are. Some of the draft is just kind of how the draft falls to you. And if it falls in such a way that the Packers are left with, you know, the guys we've just talked about being gone, there's a chance that Joshua Jones, Austin Jackson, Isaiah Wilson are the guys we're talking about at that spot. Even a little further down the list, though, probably an early third of the second round pick is Ezra Cleveland out of Boise State. Now, these are big guys. These are guys who move very, very well. Joshua Jones, probably the best of that group of four that I mentioned. He's looked very good. I don't have RAS scores in the O tackles. I haven't gone through any of those.
No.
The The Raskors.
Let's not bore the listeners either.
Yeah.
With Raskors of offensive tackles, but
those are the names that you need to listen to at this point, or even go look through some stuff here. Joshua Jones, Austin Jackson, Isaiah Wilson out of Georgia. Those guys are interesting names that are going to be somewhere there in that late first round, early second round. Who could step in and be very useful in the Packers offense this year, stepping in at that right tackle spot and just giving you some good snaps and some good pass protection against team's second best pass rushers in that way? A couple names that I want to bring up in terms of second round picks, and we talked a little bit about some of these guys. Malik Harrison and Logan Wilson are two of the guys I've talked about. Well, I didn't talk about Logan Wilson last week, but I did mention Malik Harrison, somebody I like, runs a 4.66. His RAS score is actually a 9.43.
Sorry, what's his position?
Inside linebacker. There's two inside linebackers that I really like.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other inside linebacker that I like in the second round, because I really want that wide receiver first round, and there's some talent that'll be more second-round type talent. Because if you're not getting Isaiah Simmons or Patrick Queen in the first round, you're reaching in terms of inside linebacker. Patrick Queen has got an 8.0 RAS, runs a 4.50. The linebacker out of LSU. I mean, he's quick. He can cover. He's very good. He tackles very well. He's a guy who's interesting. His RAS score is an 8.0. But, I mean, you got a 9.43 from Malik Harrison. He's probably going to be available in that late second round. He's also a very sure tackler. He's a little slower, but he's also very athletic. He's going to be able to do everything that Blake Martinez ever did and better. Other name that is interesting and out there and who should probably be available in that late second round is inside linebacker Logan Wilson from the Wyoming Cowboys. Go Pokes.
Yes.
He runs a 4.63. He had a 7.073 cone drill. His RAS comes in as an 8.85. So Malik Harrison and Logan Wilson both have higher RAS scores than Patrick Queen, and both of them are going to be available in probably the late second round as opposed to late first round, which is why I think in terms of the absolute value you're getting, going for Patrick Queen if he's available in the first round is not as valuable as going and getting somebody like Brandon Ayuk or Chase Claypool as wide receivers in that first round, and hanging back and seeing if Malik Harrison and Logan Wilson can fall to you in that second. Or even if you're getting Josh Jones in the first round, somebody like that there. I mean, it's going to – I'll tell you, Wisconsin will just start setting things on fire if we don't draft a wide receiver in the first two rounds. But if we get Joshua Jones and Logan Wilson, or we get Malik Harrison – And Joshua Jones. Joshua Jones, Malik Harrison in the first two rounds. I'm not going to be upset. And there will be fires in every other part of this state. I'll tell you. There will be several of us who will be like, that's fine. That's fine. This is all fine. We'll be the dog in that gif, just sitting there drinking our coffee with the fires everywhere. Like, this is fine.
This is fine. This is fine. What is that from, by the way, that dog gif?
I don't know. I have no
idea. I love it. It's fantastic.
It is good, and it works in so many things.
Who's the rookie that the 49ers had playing linebacker this year? Was that Fred Warner?
Yeah. BYU, right?
Right. Yeah. He was a rookie this year, and I was thinking of him when you were talking about that, and I'd be fine with that, too.
If we could get Fred Warner?
Yeah, if we got Fred Warner,
I'd trade him straight up for whatever we've got. Oren Burks for that.
Aaron Rodgers for Fred Warner.
No, get not that. No. Just linebackers. Just give him linebacker. I'll give him all of our linebackers. Inside linebackers.
God, we could have drafted him. Anyways, almost everyone could have drafted him. What was he drafted in the fourth round?
I'll have to look it up. Keep going.
Did they take him?
You keep going on that. I'll look it up.
I was just saying that. So I was kind of diagnosing everything. Your third round. So everybody had a chance at him three times, or at least two times. Round. So, but no, I was thinking about what you were saying. And
2 years ago too.
So before you broke down everything, and I was thinking about Mims too, because you were talking about him and like how he's a difference maker and stuff like that. But you got to remember the quarterback that we're playing with is the it's like a polar opposite of Brett Favre, where Brett Favre, like we were talking, like you were talking about earlier, what with Simeon Rice or whoever on the Sterling Sharp, Robert Brooks, whoever on the Packers, Antonio Freeman, would laser focus in on one wide receiver and just always throw them the ball. Where we have the super passive aggressive Aaron Rodgers now, that if you drop a ball enough times, he will just not even look at you.
Yeah, he'll pull up Tom Brady.
Yeah. Oh, Brady. Yeah, Brady too.
Brady said he did that. He specifically said he did that all the time.
Yeah, no, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, like, why didn't you throw it to this guy? He was wide open because he's let you down too many times. Aaron Rodgers will not throw to people on the field. Yeah. And I think with the Mims kid, like if he gets open on a couple fly routes when, you know, or post routes a la Jordy Nelson in his prime, and you drop a couple of them, great. You can run those, like, fly routes all day. Defenses
like MVS
will stop.
This year. Like MVS yeah. This year, right?
Oh, absolutely. Defenses will just stop covering you and we'll start double and triple covering Davante Adams again. So that's my only worry. It's like I would rather – so – like I said, you know, now Funchess is on the team, and he might be a hit or a miss. I think he's going to be a hit, just personally. I think he's been in a bad place for the last couple of years in Carolina, like a lot of people outside of Christian McCaffrey. But,
and he got injured very early at the beginning of last year with the Colts, so he didn't have anything to do with anything there.
Right, and what was worth playing for the Colts last year, too? They had a quarterback retire just before the season started. So, I guess the Claypool kid seems fun, but it's like, it's like, what do the Packers have? The Packers have no speed in their wide receiving corps at all up to this point. I mean, Lazard, I think Lazard's going to turn out to be a good wide receiver. Not a great wide receiver, but a good wide receiver.
A two or a three, that would be all right, yeah.
Yeah, and if he, you know, maybe fan favorite.
Yeah.
He'll be in a fan favorite bracket, you know, 10 years from now, like as a four seed. Like, I think he really will be. Like, God, there's no speed. There's no speed whatsoever. And I mean, I don't know, reaching for somebody that maybe.
Well, that's not entirely fair. I mean, MVS is actually really fast.
No, he's fast as heck. But I mean, talk about a guy with the dropsies.
Yeah, he had a bad second year.
Can't get open.
He had a bad second year. He's got to come back different next year. Or he's
I guess St. Brown's going to come back this year, too. I mean, we always forget about him.
It's hard to say what you're going to get with him. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. If we can get something out of him and we draft, like, Claypool or Mims or Ayuk, even though you're looking at Rieger, who does not run a 4.2? I mean, he says he does, but, I mean, he shows the video where
I don't want him just because of that, by the way. No.
I mean, like, yeah.
Are the Ishmaels available?
No. And they're old. Do they have a kid? Any of them? Raheem or
don't have any kids at all.
Quadri.
They were fast.
Quadri Ishmael, Raheem Ishmael. Yeah. All great. So yeah. That's kind of where we are. Is like if it's my perfect world, I guess what I want is Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State in the first round. And maybe Andrew Herman can talk me out of this at some point. But I mean, if I can get Malik Harrison as my second round pick. And I'm going to be very excited about this team next year. I'm going to be pretty excited either way. If I can get Brandon Ayuk, Malik Harrison out of Ohio State, the inside linebacker out of Ohio State, if I get those two in my first two rounds, man, I'm filling a lot of holes on this defense and this offense, and I'm going to be feeling very confident about this team moving forward. And that is what I want more than anything at this point. And we're like, what, 2 weeks or a week and a half, I guess, kind of out from that. And that's kind of where I am now. We'll keep looking at some of these things and where we feel. I mean, we're in a very early part of our dating relationship at this point. I can always just kind of change my mind here. It's not like my real life where I am, you know, we're Aaron and I, we are locked in on that part. draft prospects, I can fall in and out of love a little faster on that, but I'm going to need to see something. I'm going to need to see something before I change my mind from Brandon Ayuk, because I have loved what I have seen from him in terms
and
of
then,
his
and then and then as everyone knows, I don't even care about the draft because I love that Mel Kiper and Schefter and all these other people and Lenardi with the bracketology with March Madness have all made a cottage industry out of the unknown, and if they even hit 5% of their mock draft, they're considered geniuses. Like, outside of the number 1, 2, and 3 overall picks, like, nobody knows. Nobody knows at all, because it's such a crapshoot. The mock drafting just astounds me. Why people so get into, here's my way too early mock draft for 2022. And it's like, you don't even know, like, who knew the Packers were going to be 13-3 this year? Like, how did anybody know 2 years ago
where
the Packers would be drafting? Sorry. I know this is your gig and you write stuff, but it's just like, at least you do it smartly. Like, you've always been smart about your mock drafts, but like, I just see some stuff and it's just like, you're doing it on the, people get paid millions of dollars to do mock drafts over and over again. And they're 95% wrong. I mean, literally. They make more money off being worse. I mean, Major League Baseball players get paid millions of dollars for only being right 20% of the time, as long as they hit it over the fence.
Yeah, it's
10% of the time they hit it 20% of the time. You know,
it's the thing. It's just like, it's the hard part about the draft is you start trading actual players and talent for draft picks. You're like, yeah. I mean, it's potential, but it's only potential. And you're going to fail on, I mean, like, go back and look 5 years back and remember who was drafted in the first round that we were very excited about, not just for the Packers, but, like, you go look at a league and you say, yeah, we were excited about so-and-so. Like, we were convinced that, you know, Fisher was a first-round top 10 pick or top 3 pick at tackle. And now you're like, yeah, he's a starter, I guess. But nobody's talking about, nobody's like excited about him. I don't think he's ever made a Pro Bowl for a guy who was was he the second pick overall that year too for Kansas City?
First overall.
Yeah, out of Central Michigan. And you're like, okay, I mean, he's nice.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, it is a hard thing because you've only seen them play against college players. You haven't seen them play against pros, so you don't really know.
I mean, why would you take someone out of Central Michigan with the first overall pick? I mean, that's completely ass.
Go right Chippewas.
There. Yeah. Row the boat. Oh, no. That was Western Michigan. Damn. Yeah, anyways.
Way before
but I talk about this all the time. So who is the kid from Louisville that the Packers took in the second round to be the heir apparent to Brett Favre?
Oh, Brian Brom.
Braun.
And then Braun. he left and went to the Bills to be their starter for a game or two, and then kind of fell off.
John, I've started a game for the Bills in the 2000s.
Good for you.
Just in case you didn't know that. I think everyone has started a game.
I didn't. It's too far away.
But, true story, by the way, when we were up in Winnipeg in 2014, he was playing for the Blue Bombers as the backup quarterback, and I saw him on the sideline up there. Anyways, very nice guy, because you're going to meet after a CFL game, all the players are super accessible.
Come into the stands, shake your hands. Thanks. Thanks for being here, eh?
Thanks.
It's kind of cold out there.
We drove all the way up here from Duluth, and we're in town for the Bare Naked Ladies concert, but Alan Doyle's opening for them. Oh, it's going to be so great. But we thought we'd come down here and see a football game, and we're from the United States. Hey, by the way, your field looks a little rough, and I don't know if it's going to hold up for that preseason Packers game 2 years from now.
That field's kind of too long there, pal.
It's too wide and too long, and what are your goalposts doing on the end zone line? I don't know what that's all about. Anyways, so I remember Packers fans just being – And everyone's saying, oh, this is the heir apparent to Brett Favre, because Brett Favre was a second-round draft pick. Ron Wolf gave up a first-round draft pick to get him from the Atlanta Falcons, but Brett Favre was a second-round draft pick of the Falcons, and everyone's like, oh, this is going to be the heir apparent, but that guy completely fizzled out. And then when Aaron Rodgers got drafted in the first round, everyone said, no, system quarterback, California, whatever that coach's name was that had all the quarterbacks coming out of Cal, like, this guy's not going to work, blah, 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 whatever. Everyone was so on top. Everyone was, well, Brom, he looks even looks like Brett Favre. This is going to be great. And Aaron Rodgers, oh, this guy's going to suck. And he's
Anyways. All right.
I just remember everyone hated the Aaron Rodgers pick. Everyone hated the Aaron Rodgers pick.
I don't know.
Yes, they did, John.
Not in the circles I was in.
The Aaron Rodgers pick.
In the circles I was in, we were very excited. Anyhow, we're gonna wrap this up. We're a little over time, but this is all gold. It's gold, Jerry. Gold.
How do we do this? Like in the abyss? Like. I don't know.
I actually have more things I wanted to talk about here that we talked about beforehand. We're not just going to get to them, but
what were you going to just run it down real quick?
Okay, quickly, the NBA and NHL playoffs, kind of crazy. The horse games that are being put on television as if we want to watch that. They are total garbage. Crap. That's the short run of what those are. Garbage. Anyhow, thank you again for joining us this week, everybody. All of our friends out in the Netherlands.
Hello, friends, Netherlands.
The Netherlands. And, of course, our friends elsewhere. Yeah. In Austria and Australia and everywhere around the world. And Belarus. Belarus, of course. We do love you in Belarus. And everywhere around the world. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We appreciate this. Just a chance for us to act normal-ish, I guess, normal for us, and to hopefully share something in terms of our love of sports and everything with you. Hang in there, everybody. Remember, I mean, you can find us again, like I said, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever else it is that you can find your podcast, you can find us. Please remember to subscribe. Download, listen, rate, and review us. Give us the 5-star rating because we deserve it. We have earned it. We have earned it all the way. You can follow me at Not So Humble Host. You can follow Aaron at Cheddar Talk. And of course, you can follow this show at Scotty Johnny Pod. And remember, don't go out on a town and don't go out anywhere else. But remember that whatever else is happening is always on Wisconsin.
Stay home. And Ferguson.
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.